Baltimore Symphony will kick off its new season on Saturday night with a performance and gala party at the Joseph Meyerhoff Symphony Hall. They've already had a busy week. Last Saturday, they performed for a national television audience at Pier 6 as part of the 200th anniversary celebration of the Star-Spangled Banner. And this weekend, the symphony will again keep the national anthem front and center. They'll perform a piece that hasn't seen the light of day for 80 years, an ode to the Star-Spangled Banner by Ferdy Groffay, a classical composer and jazz arranger who is well known in the classical circles for this piece, the Grand Canyon Suite. On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. My guests this morning are Neil Grauer and Nicholas Brown. Neil is an author who has written several books, the most recent being A History of Johns Hopkins Medicine. And Nick Brown is on the staff of the Library of Congress. They're here to tell us the story of how Groffay's ode came to find its way onto the BSO program on Saturday. Good morning to you both. Good to see you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Neil, this has really been a cause célèbre for you.
Kind of.
How did this piece come to your attention?
Well, in December 1932, my father and grandfather attended the opening of Radio City Music Hall. Mm-hmm. And my father kept the program. And in the program, which is mind-boggling because it was a four-hour show with everyone from Martha Graham's dance troupe to the Flying Walendas to Ray Bolger, there was a piece of music identified as September 13, 1814, and it was described in the program as being a evocation of the bombardment on Fort McHenry, accompanying a tableau depicting that event. And so I thought that it would be phenomenal if I could find this piece of music and offer it to the BSO for the bicentennial.
Uh-huh. And indeed, you did track it down with Nick's help. So, Nick, was this piece just sort of locked in some vault somewhere in the Library of Congress? How did you find it?
Well, it was buried down below the surface level on Capitol Hill of our James Madison building, where the majority of the music collections live. And we actually have the Ferdy Groffay collection, which is something around 280 boxes of manuscripts, parts, and memorabilia related to his career that his family gifted to the library. Mm-hmm. And so when Neil brought the story to my attention via a mutual colleague, Charles Lim, who is here at Hopkins, and we had worked with Charles previously at the library, we figured out that we would go on a treasure hunt and find this thing. And it turned into a really bizarre project, and I think I inhaled about 2 pounds of dust from the 1930s in the process. But I searched through all these boxes, which weren't entirely sorted in an easy-to-navigate manner. It was something over 200 boxes before I found the actual sheet music that we needed. And what happened when I located it was we determined there were several different versions of the piece. The one that was performed at Radio City Music Hall was the full orchestra version, and Groffay dated that manuscript December 23rd, 1932. We also discovered a version for dance jazz orchestra, which was recorded in 1937 with Ferdy's own orchestra. And then we found some parts and then some peripheral clippings in the scrapbooks and have been working with the BSO since in bringing this project to fruition.
So you reconstructed the score from these materials and you've got fresh materials for the orchestra to play.
Yes. So once we had determined that these parts were suitable for the orchestra, we worked with their library staff and with Matt Spivey, and we all decided
to collect. He's on the administrative staff of the artistic staff of the BSO.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting, at the Library of Congress, obviously, you know, it's this vast collection, and I think most lay people like me have the idea that everything's, you know, beautifully organized, it's all in the right file, and if you need something, you just go to some computer and you go, and you got it, right? But not so. I mean, you had to
go
through boxes. And
correct.
Figure this out.
Well, yeah, part of the problem was that the program from the Radio City called the piece September 13, 1814, but when Nick found it, it was listed under Ode to the Star-Spangled Banner.
Mm-hmm. Let's give it a listen. We do have, as you mentioned, Nick, there's this recording from 1937. Here's a bit of Ferdy Groffay's Ode to the Star-Spangled Banner.
Thank you.
So there it is. So now, Nick, explain who's performing it. That's the composer himself, Mr. Groffé, conducting his orchestra, because he had a radio show, and he had a, like a big band or a jazz band that he performed with often, right? So this was broadcast on CBS Radio in 1937.
Yes, and it was his own orchestra, and the recording is part of a series of his audio archival recordings that live down at Florida State University. The Library of Congress has the paper holdings, and then they have most of his audio holdings. And it's up online. Anyone can Google the recording if you want a taste of that jazz orchestra version, which will differ from the version that the BSO is playing.
Yeah, for the bigger. So, Neil, what about this piece strikes you? I mean, a little bit later on, there's a little snippet from Yankee Doodle. He works in some other tunes.
Oh, yeah. He works in Rule Britannia. He works in Yankee Doodle. There are slide whistles for the rockets coming over Fort McHenry, and there are drum rolls for the bombs and the rat-a-tat-tat of the rifles. I should say that in 1932, as I said, the program described this as being, you know, performed in a conjunction with a tableau recreating the bombardment. And so we have sought to do something similar, and that we got footage from a 2008 History Channel docudrama on the War of 1812 that had scenes depicting the bombardment of Fort McHenry. And we got permission from the Arts and Entertainment Channel to use about, you know, 5 minutes of this footage, which will be broadcast on the BSO's big screen. Not broadcast, will be projected on the BSO's big screen, and they will play the music to accompany it.
Yeah, so with the full orchestra instead of the jazz band. And in this issue, so you're sort of recreating what they were doing back in Radio City in 1932. That's a hoot. Neil Grauer is the Assistant Director of Editorial Services at Johns Hopkins Medicine. Nicholas Brown is a music specialist at the Library of Congress in Washington on 88.1. It's Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. We're talking about Ferdy Groffé, composer Nick Brown, who was a pretty big deal in his time, was he not?
Yes, he was. He had a fascinating background. He kind of worked his way up in life. He had odd jobs when he was a child, working in kitchens and as a newspaper boy and that sort of thing. Then he became a working musician as a violinist and pianist. Eventually, he came into contact with the famous band leader Paul Whiteman. And with Paul Whiteman, he played in the band and then also orchestrated and arranged for the musicians. And then he eventually came into contact with George Gershwin. And the story that makes Groffé such a legend within the library's circles is that Groffé actually orchestrated the jazz orchestra version of Rhapsody in Blue, which was actually the first version performed with Gershwin at the piano and Paul Whiteman conducting. And in 1946, Groffé actually presented that manuscript to the Library of Congress, many decades before the rest of his collection arrived.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to a little bit of that. We don't have Gershwin playing it himself, but this is the arrangement that Ferdy Groffé did of Gershwin's famous Rhapsody in Blue. Of course, if folks who are familiar with that piece, either from hearing it in concerts or hearing it on the United Airlines commercials or something, they're familiar with the large orchestra version. Mm-hmm. This is for a smaller jazz band. And, of course, Groffé's arrangement of the Star-Spangled Banner will be, again, for a large symphony orchestra rather than the small band. Now, when we talk about an arrangement, plenty of people have arranged the Star-Spangled Banner, some composers of great note. Igor Stravinsky comes to mind. He did a rather famous harmonization of the Star-Spangled Banner. Let's give a little listen to that. Stravinsky changes the harmonies ever so slightly. He changes the rhythms here and there. It's certainly recognizable as the Star-Spangled Banner, but it's not by any means a typical orchestration.
Thank you.
Of course, you know, composers take liberties. That's what they're allowed to do. So Neil Grauer, when Groffet approached this thing, he was really doing not really a strict arrangement of the Star-Spangled Banner, but he was kind of using the Star-Spangled Banner as a launching point to do all sorts of other fiddling about.
Yeah, to use it as a motif to enliven this panorama. I don't have any idea what they did on the stage of Radio City when presumably they had a model
for the tableau you're talking about.
A tableau, presumably. They did have an actor named Taylor Holmes, who later became a famous character actor in Washington playing judges and things like that. And he performed as Francis Scott Key, but I found a review at the time that said that he didn't say anything, so he just reacted, you know, probably melodramatically.
Like Saturday Night Live, you know, acting.
Right, right, right.
And Nick Brown, before we go, just real quick, there's going to be an exhibition at the Meyerhoff at the gala on Saturday that includes some artifacts and some things related to Francis Scott Key, as well as the premiere of this piece.
That's correct. And also on the program are works by Aaron Copland. And Copland is, of course, another linchpin in our music collections at the library. So we're going to be bringing up some special treasures and manuscripts related to all of the music on the program. And this is an effort for the Library of Congress to convey this project that we have called Songs of America, in which we're capturing and providing to the public an opportunity to learn about how music offers a depiction of American history.
Well, it's going to be fun stuff. Well, Neil Grauer and Nick Brown, appreciate your coming by and break a leg on Saturday night. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
Tom.
Neil Grauer and Nicholas Brown will be part of a panel tomorrow about various arrangements of the Star-Spangled Banner that starts at noon. It's at the Library of Congress in Washington. And as we mentioned, the BSO will perform Ferdi Groffé's Ode on Saturday night at their annual gala at the Meyerhoff in Baltimore. Their program also includes Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue with the Marcus Roberts Trio, Copland's Lincoln Portrait, narrated by Center Stage's Kwame Kwe Arma, and Copland's Old American Songs, sung by the Morgan State University Choir. Marin Alsop conducts, and if you'd like to skip the Black Tie Gala dinner part of the evening, you can get tickets for just the concert. We'll have a link with more information on our website, wipr.org/Maryland Morning. Maryland Morning is an original production of Your Public Radio, WIPR, in Baltimore. You can learn more about what you've heard on our show or catch something you've missed on our website. Again, come to wipr.org/Maryland Morning. The show is produced by Matt Purdy and Jamila Kay. Nathan Sterner directs and engineers. We've got production help from Elizabeth Sherwood and Payam Agagasam. Coming up Friday, a radio tour of the Chesapeake Shakespeare Theater's new digs in downtown Baltimore. I hope you can join us Friday morning on Maryland Morning. For Sheila Cast, I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.